goes like this.
Good morning.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Yes, praise is what I do. Praise is what you do, Nigeria, Kenya, every South Africa, Fiji, everybody that's under the sound of my voice. We should always, we don't have to keep saying it. It should be a way of life for you now. It should be a way that you live every single morning, every afternoon. There is no limit on when you should be praising the Lord. When you get that little inkling that makes you just want to rise up and just put your hands out and just give God all his glory, you may just do it with your voice. You may do it with the raising of your hand. You may change your posture. But this is what we are expected to do. Why is that? Because look around. Look where God has you. He woke you up this morning, granted you a new day with new mercies, a new dawning. So therefore, that is something to praise him for. Everything that is in your life right now, whether it's good or it's bad, it's something to praise the Lord. We know when praises go up, blessings come down. And another thing, when you're praising the Lord, it takes away the negative energy. It takes away the negative attitude, and you have to have a positive attitude. Why? Because God is the positive energy. He is the positive force that goes to and fro all over this land. So why not give him praises? Because he is so worthy. We exalt thee at all times. Never should we be at a place where we have to second guess about praising the Lord. I am so thankful on this morning that God allowed us to meet again at our executive meeting where we break the bread of life and we drink the living water. And just thanking God that he continues to give us our daily manna. He's not giving up, saints. He's not throwing in the towel. He keeps on moving. He's keeping on pushing. He realized that he has a place where someone and everybody will sit and be where they need to be in the name of Jesus. So we just sit and say, good morning, good morning, good morning. And how are you over this land? We are thankful that this is another week with an expectation that something so powerful, so moving, so touching, that a shaking will occur. We looking for the a radar of earthquake where they haven't even found or cannot put a number to, because that's how God's power is, his Holy Ghost power. Good morning, Mother Jackson. Can you please bring us in prayer? Minister Shakita, are you there in prayer to bring us in prayer? Hello, is anyone there? Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this morning with open arms, open prayers, open everything, just coming to you, giving you all that we have, thanking you, Lord, for who you are and whose we are, thanking you, Father God, for your grace, thanking you, Father God, for your mercy, thanking you, Father God, for just supplying all our needs, thanking you, Father God, that we realize that you are worthy to be praised. Thanking you, Father God, that you are the apple of our eye and we are the apple of your eye, Father God. Thanking you, Lord Jesus, that you have granted us new mercies. Thanking you, Lord Jesus, that you have opened doors and portals and windows and everything for us, Father God, for us to move forward in you, in your kingdom, Lord Jesus, without missing a beat, Father God. Thanking you, Lord Jesus, that we have an expectation, Father, that miracles, signs, and wonders will occur on this day, Father God. And if they do not occur on this day, Lord Jesus, that they will soon to come, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for just continuing to pour your Holy Spirit inside of us, Father God, where it's consuming us, Lord Jesus. We agree and declare on this day, Father, that you are more than enough but we can never get enough, Father God. So when our vessels get halfway full, Father, we're asking you right then and there, Father, to pour more into us, Father, to lead us, to guide us, and to strengthen us, Father God. Lord, to place, keep our feet on a solid ground, Father God. Instruct us where to go, Father God. Instruct us where not to go, Father God. Keep us in your safe place, Father God, in your center mass, Father God, in your will, Father. And the times, Lord Jesus, that we even think about coming out of it, Father God, give us a quick meaning, Father God. Pull us back to you, Lord Jesus. We draw nearer to thee because we need thee. We draw nearer to thee because we choose to be Christ-like. We choose, Father God, to be in your will. We no longer, Father, want to be out of the will of the Lord, Father, but we want, Lord, every and anything that you have for us, Father God. We want to live a prosperous life, Father God. We want to, Father God, say yes and amen to stand on the promises that you have already predestined for us to have, Father God. We just thank you on this day, Father God. We pray for all the nations that are on this line, Father God. We pray for living conditions, Father God. We pray, Father God, that you continue to provide all their needs, Father God. We pray, Father God, that anybody, Lord Jesus, that's having second doubts of who Jesus Christ is in their life, Father God, that on today, Lord Jesus, that they would not go another day, Father God, with a doubt in their mind, Father God, but they will realize who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Good morning again. Good morning. Okay, I'm not done. Good morning. It seems as if we're having some technical difficulties this morning with the broadcast. Can anyone hear me? Well, if you can hear me, let me just say this to you. We refuse to allow Satan to defeat us because we are not defeated foes. We are a people that press on. We continue to move on. We continue to go on. Minister Chiquita, I'm hoping that you are on the line now so we can move forward. Not sure what just took place, but I want to sit and tell you this. That one thing about Satan, he has no authority over my life because the keys that God has given me, he gives me the keys where I can unlock some things that's going on. That's why I refuse to give up. That's why I continue to sit and keep moving on because I'm not going to allow him to bring me into a place where I feel that he is victorious when I know that this is the assignment that God has given me. So we're going to start this over. I'm going to sit and tell you all good morning and let you all remember that praise is what we do. Praise is a way of life for us. No matter where you're at, what you're doing, you always have the ability to give God his praise because he is so worthy to be praised. A new dawning, a new morning means a new beginning. So why would we not want to praise him? And all the people that's across this land, we are praying for you all this morning, praying that God just continue to provide for you, to bring you out of some of the living conditions that you're in, to open some doors, some portals, some everything for you. So you, I, and everybody else can escalate, can move into another realm, can move into another place of where they're living. So with that being said, I want to speak about this morning being a prisoner of hope. As a prisoner of hope in Zechariah 9:12, we must allow ourselves to be captured and be filled with hope. We must think hope. We must talk hope. We must act hope. When you face a seemingly hopeless situation, remember that in God, I'm going to say this again, that in God, you are a prisoner of hope. There is no way to get away from the hope that is in him. When you are going through a situation, see, the way we, the way the world thinks about hope on a spiritual level, it's a whole different thing. It is a whole different, it is a whole different, has a whole different meaning. The word hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. Okay? We already know that. And no one knows it better than Abraham. No one knows about hope better than Abraham. The hope plus the faith that Abraham had made everything that God promised him to manifest. It did not matter that he was up in age. It did not matter that every day for year after year he woke up and it had not manifested. But one thing about Abraham, and that's what I'm asking God, God put people in this compass for this Bible, this sword, whatever you want to call it, for us to lead for an example in life. And what you and I need to do is sometimes we need to identify with different characters or different people in the Bible to help us to get to one place to the other. Because at day by day, we have some situations that is way, way above our head. What is a prisoner of hope? It is someone who refuses to stop hoping in God, no matter how bad his or her circumstances are. As I already said, Abraham was such a man. We learn from God's word that all human reason for hope being gone, Abraham hoped on in faith that God's promise would come to pass in his life. And you can get the account from that story from Romans 4:18. And we are going to go over to Romans 4:18. Minister Shakita, I hope that you're on the line. Godly, as I said, godly hope is not the same quality as the world calls hope. Usually when we hear people say they're hoping for this, they're hoping for that, they're hoping for something to happen, they vaguely hoping. Because with that hoping, you, the next thing that comes out of their mouth is complaint. The next thing that comes out of their mouth with the hope is a doubt. Doubt comes with it. See, when you have that hope that Abraham has, you have that, you are getting up like a giraffe with an expectation. Your neck is so stretched out, and you looking from the left to the right. You're looking from afar to see what God is getting ready to bring to you. You don't have a doubt in your body, in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit, because you know that that's what God has said to you. And who am I talking? Who has God made some promises to? And you, without a shadow of a doubt, know that it's going to take place. It may have not taken place on today. It may have not taken place as of yet. But you know that it's going to take place because you have that personal relationship with God to the point that you know that his word does not come back void. You know that God, when you're standing on his promises and saying yes and amen, that they are going to manifest in your life. You and I must just have to stay into a place where we understand what hope is. Hope is not today. Hope does not come with doubt. Hope does not come where you where you're coming with you're timid. You gotta have hope where you're bold. The hope has to you. The hope that's inside of you. You have to have courage. The hope is really knowing that it's going to take place. As I said, we will sit and say, "I hope." An example. I hope when I go to the doctor on Tuesday that I don't have to get a new medication, or I hope, but then the next sentence as I'm talking to my sisters, oh, they're going to have to give me a double shot of prednisone. Oh, they're going to sit and change. No, I have to be into a place that I'm really realizing that my hope mixed with faith combined, that power, that force, along with the Holy Ghost, is going to get me out of or bring me to where I need to be. I'm hoping every single day of my life for a healing. I am tired, sick and tired of having an asthma attack because the wind blowing a certain way. I'm tired of walking. If I walk into an overheated place, I have an asthma attack. But see, me, myself, I bring my own demise. Because like I said, I'm talking about asthma. I'm having hope for tomorrow that I may be totally healed from it. I'm definitely not where I used to be, but I'm hoping for a complete healing. I'm hoping for a complete healing, so therefore I cannot bring the doubt in with it. I cannot bring the complaints in with it. Complaining and doubting does not equal hope. There is no equivalency there. All it does is it overshadows, it overcasts what you should already have inside of you, the excitement, the anticipation, the eagerness that God is getting ready to do something for you, no matter if you have not seen it come to fruition yet. But we don't have that hope. There's limit of Abraham's walking on this earth now. It's limited of Abraham's that can get into a place and sit and say what God did on yesterday, he can do on today. It's limited of Abraham's that feel like that, oh, well, God promised me this 50 years ago, but it hasn't came forth, so now I don't have the faith that's there. My hope is a minor hope. My hope comes with complaints. My hope comes with doubt. But I want to sit and tell you today, I beg to differ. I beg to differ. I decree and declare on today that people will open their eyes, open their minds, allow the stories that God has already wrote down or had an author to write down, that you allow those stories, these biblical stories to become new to you. You read into them. You receive what it is. I'm not asking you to allow that story to become you, because in every story that I read in the Bible, it has a circumstance or has something that can help me in my day-to-day walk. And right now what we're talking about is hope, because there are some people on this line, including myself, got some major things, some major situations that's going on in their life, and they need for God to be that deliverer. And they need for him to be the messenger to bring they need for him to be the postman to bring what needs to be delivered to them. But you and I have to be set. We have to have a solid foundation. Hope is a solid foundation. When you have a solid foundation and it is built, nothing and nobody can come and knock it down. It is built with the Holy Spirit. It is built with the love of God. It is built that knowing that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Tell me who can knock it down. Tell me what demolition team that Satan can put together and knock it down. See, that's where Abraham was. Abraham went through some things. He went through a lot of things. He had to do some different things to save him and Sarah's life. He had to go through some things. But the thing of it is that he held on to God's promises. He never let them go. No matter what his circumstances was, no matter what his situation was, he never let it go. He never allowed it to beat him down. He never allowed the fact that years after year after year came and the promises never came. He watched his body go from age from year after year, but you never are going to find an account in the Bible where he second guessed what God said. Kept on moving. He kept on moving with an expectation that it was going to occur. Who am I talking to today? Who has situations that they know that only God can move, and the hope that they have to be so solid, it cannot even be a crack a hairline crack in it, because you know no matter what that God is going to deliver it. You know no matter what, how long in life that you have to wait, that God is going to do what he says he can do. See, one thing I love about hope is that hope teaches you to believe in what God says. Hope with faith, as I said again, it's a powerhouse. Let me go back to the scripture. And in Zechariah 9:12, God tells, he promised them that he will restore double what they have lost or stolen. This is when Jesus came in. He was letting the people know that your Redeemer is coming. He's coming in like a donkey, and I'm going to give you all restoration. And listen, God is talking to us about that now. The restoration is here. You have to have hope for tomorrow. You need to have hope for today, because the word of God says, and God's word does not come back void, that he is going to restore double of what you lost. Now, let me park there. I'm not talking about things that you lost because you were in your act of sin. I'm talking about things that you got from God, and God gave you. He blessed you because of your acts of obedience. He blessed you because this is what you had prayed for and you asked. Or he blessed you as he found Abraham to be faithful. He found him to be loyal. He found him to be committed. He found him to be dedicated to him. He found him to have a personal and genuine relationship with him. And what father that you know would not give their children or reward their children from the list of things that I have just said? That's what I'm talking about, that God was talking to the people, letting them know that he would restore them. He would give them double. And there are some people on this line that has been dedicated, that has been faithful, that stand no matter what, no matter how the wind is blowing and trying to unanchor them and pull them out of where they have rested, and that is on the block. Standing on the block for God, staying up on the wall, and no matter what the situation is, they refuse to let anything take them down. They know what the conversations that they've had with God. They know what they might have been prophesied about too. They know who might have prophesied and told them that this is what the Lord said. You know what God tells you in your vision and in your dreams. That's why it's so very important for you to write them down, because it gives you something to go and look at. It gives you something for you to continue to have hope in and sit and say that God finds me and deems me so worthy that these are the things that he's given me. And in my bad times, and even in my good times, and even times when I may have not been deserving, he still put the hope inside of me. He put it inside of me for it to continue to grow. Let me tell you something about hope. Hope is like a pregnant woman when a seed gets placed deep down, when they're impregnated with a seed, and that seed continues to grow month after month. That's what hope does. Hope with faith, it continues to grow after growth. But we as a people, I'm talking to you women, but men, I'm talking to you too. Just act like you in a place of being impregnated. You know what I'm talking about. We get to the place where the lack of come in, the complaints come in, the doubt come in, and what do? We have a miscarriage. So what God has already placed inside of us, that seed of hope accompanied with the faith, you got a twin going on right then and there. And what happens? You start complaining. You start doubting. You woke up the next morning, what you was praying for, what you was praising for, what you was worshiping for, fasting for, consecrating yourself has not developed yet. So you turn, you go back into the ugliness. You start picking up the things that's not of God, which is doubt, complaining, worriation, being too anxious for things. And what happens? We have a miscarriage. So what God has placed in us no longer continues to grow. We don't nurture it with love. We don't nurture it with peace and joy, knowing that we're going to have to go through a long haul because it's 9 months of pregnancy. You got to still have that long suffering there. You got to have that patience there. So them accompanied with the hope and the faith together, you can deliver, you can birth what God has for you. But see, we looking for an immediate birthing. We don't want to go through the 9 months. We don't want to go through the time. Abraham went through his time. Abraham received. His male was delivered to him. His birthing came out. He birthed exactly what God said. He became exactly who God says that he is. Good morning, Minister Chiquita. I see that you're on. Come on in and add to this, please.
Good morning, Evangeline, and good morning, Saints. It's a great day to fellowship and commune with the Lord, isn't it? Saints, this is a verse that's personal to me. When Evangeline gave me the script for studying for the morning prayer, I smiled on my face because this is one of the prayers that helped me come up out of my dark place. When I was in a place of, you can say I felt like I was living in hell on earth, in the way my mental state was setting. And I felt like at that point in my life, I couldn't do the things that I was trying to do. And that was the point. It wasn't for me to try to do. I had not put my faith and I had not laid my hope into the Lord the way I know I should have been and the way I continuously to do this day forth right now. See, saints, I had got to a place where, like apostle and like evangelist, like all of us, all the one that come forth and bring forth the word, is go back to self. You have to get into a place to where you want a relationship with God. You want better for your life. This verse, when I went down and I had a stroke real bad, my mind was in obliteration. I got to the point where God kept coming to me. I didn't know exactly where the verse was, but the words kept popping up in my day to day, and it would come up in different ways. Come back to me, my child. Return to me, my child. Your word, child, I will give you double for your trouble, to the point where I had to go and research the verse. And I researched the verse, and it came out, and I read it. And I had to get to a place to where I had to believe. I had to get back to the point where I had to believe that God is going to do what he said he's going to do, exceedingly and abundantly. I had to get out of my own way, saints. And that's where we are today. We cannot allow ourselves to get into a way to, like evangelists say, get complacent and complain and worry about the things that we cannot control, that's not in our control. We have to turn those things over to God, being obedient. That is obedience, walking in faith, doing what we can to solve the situation in obedience, in a happy state of mind. Sometimes those things going to be hard, but the joy of the Lord adds richness to your life. It adds no sorrow to you. It manifests and moves forth in your life to bring forth the things that you want, the things that you're thinking about, the things that you swear that you cannot get. I promise you, saints, return back to where you are. Return back to the fortress. Return back and give God all of you. Lay it down on the cross and give him the things of you today. It's to your detriment, and it's to my detriment, and it's something that I'm living. It's something I had to learn every day. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now, I announce that I will restore you twice as much to you. That's double for your trouble. Not what, like Evangelist said, not when you're led in your sins. When you are living righteously and you see things going on with you, you don't take it internally. You wholeheartedly give it to God, what you cannot handle, and you give it to him, and you allow him to do his work like he's done already. Once you already give it to him, you should understand that he's already taken care of it. We just got to get out of the way. That's all, saints. It's us, saints. You removing ourselves, putting ourselves in a place where God truly, truly, truly knows that we're walking with him, we're loving him, giving us in our life, we're not taking anything for granted, we're loving him wholeheartedly, unconditionally, with all our might, putting forth the effort to do the things that he's given us in our life, our health. This is something that I'm working on right now. You have to do the things that you need to in your life to work for the righteous path that you need. You cannot, prime example, you want a new car. How can you get a new car if you got 2 and 3 cars sitting out there blocking in your driveway? That is not hope seen for. You must remove some of those things out of the way so God can put the blessings in your life. Broke down vehicles just sitting there taking up space. You cannot allow things take up space in your life that's not of God, that's dead weight. You remove them so God can put the blessings in your life. I learned this myself. My apostle had been getting on us about this vehicle that we've had. He told us over and over again, baby, I seen it. Baby girl, baby boy, I seen it. Son, daughter, I seen it. The car won't break down. My God, I promise you. The men or women of God bring forth message for you to heed warning. It's not to criticize you. It's not to make you feel any kind of way. The only way you should feel is you want to change in your heart. So get the hope of God, the love of God into you to where you know that God is going to manifest the things in your life. And there's no doubt in your mind it's going to move. It's going to move. God's going to move it. Regardless if you think it ain't, you know God is. So you might as well get it in your spirit, get it in your soul, and get it in your mind that I know God is going to do everything he say he's going to do, saints. How I know, saints, I've tried everything else. Nothing worked but this. Nothing worked for me but this right here. No matter how far I go away, I still feel like God is too far away from me. I turn around and I run back. I don't have no choice right now. It's to the detriment of my life. It's for the detriment of my family. It's for the detriment of everything that's connected to me, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Saints, do you not know what you have right now, the blessings that God are bringing forth to you right now? The words alone that we speak right now are a blessing for your life. It's bringing forth you clarity of mind, clarity of spirit, clarity of teaching, of learning right now, saints, so you can understand that God is the stronghold that you need in your life. You don't need no other stronghold but God. So turn to him and run to him and seek him no matter what. No matter what is going on, what, no matter how it faces, no matter how it looks, no matter how it feels. Put your eyes on the Lord, saints. Back to you, Evangelist.
Amen, Minister Shakita Seamus. If you were like you're being like Abraham, steadfast. Abraham was, he continued to be in Romans 4:20, the verse says that Abraham continued to be steadfast. He kept praising and giving glory to God. And see, this is another thing that we must do. It is something else that we must continue in our time of waiting, in our time of continuing to press on in our endurance, because we are believing what God has. And you all know my saying, you have to believe to receive. You must remain steadfast. One thing about my accountability partners, my sisters, they always let me know you got to stay on your block. Stop letting things take you off of your square. You have to stay there. And see, that's where Abraham was. Abraham, no matter what, as I said, he believed in what God said, that God was going to do what he was going to do. But we do understand this. Even in this day and time, Satan and his diabolical imps, the place that they're always trying to attack is the mind. You have to keep your mind free of clutter. You have to daily, I sometimes throughout the day ask God several times throughout the day, renew my mind, because see, I realize that that's where Satan, it's an open attack for Satan if I don't sit and I don't close it, if I don't shut and tight. I have to keep my mind into a place, and this is where Abraham was. Abraham was in a place where he stayed in a place of obedience, knowing that Satan was going to come and try to take him off of his square. We have to stay on our square in life. We have
there. Courageousness has to be there. Obedience has to be there. Discipline has to be there. Love has to be there. Peace has to be there. Joy, because see, Satan's job is to come and steal, kill, and destroy. And what better will he try to destroy if he wants to break up? He wants you to believe that God's word does not return void. He wants you to believe that, yeah, oh, that's just another promise, a promise that's not going to take place. We break the promises. We break the promises. God does not break the promises. God's word come back, does not return void. We break the promises with fear. We break the promises with doubt, uncertainty. We break the promises of not knowing our true and personal relationship with God. Today you have a relationship with him, tomorrow you don't. Today you know him, tomorrow you do not know him. Today you can walk around, oh Lord, the Holy Spirit is all over me, and tomorrow you cannot feel it. Because we refuse to continue to stand on the square. We refuse to stand up and face Satan and his ugly imp. And how do you face him? You continue to pray. You continue to pray. You have a mindset where you ask God. You place on your full armor of God and that helmet of salvation, knowing that Christ died on the cross for you, that and you have eternal life. God has given us weapons. One is staying in his will, remaining in your relationship with God, day by day, allowing your relationship to grow more, stronger and stronger, not allowing different things to come and take you off, having a bad day. Oh, today was a bad day, and I'm this and I'm that. No, you pick yourself back up. You remember the promises that God has made to you. You don't let no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every word that comes against you shall be condemned. That's where your faith is. That's where your hope is. You don't let different situations come and take you out. You stand firm. You stand unmovable. You stay into a place where you know if God said it, so it shall be. If God said it, so it shall be. If God said it, so it shall be. We will sit and even allow people to come into our lives and say, girl, you sure that God told you that? Because I haven't seen it manifested yet. Oh, you just crazy. You just the holy roly. Oh, I'm only speaking to y'all some things that people have said to me. But I'm going to tell you this. I know the promises that God has made for me. I know that they are on right track. Because different things that is going on in my life right now were prophesied. And who were they prophesied to? To me. Who did God show the visions? To me. Who did he show the dreams? To me. Who wrote them down plain and clearly? That was I. And I sit and tell you, year after year, I done been pulled off of my block. Year after year, month after month, day after day. But when God placed in my spirit about hope, when hope came back to the place and let me know that I had to be steadfast and realize that long suffering is going to come my way, realize that my patience needed to be tuned up a little bit, a notch needed to go up. See, one thing that I realized, I used to run from the word patience because when I asked for it before, I landed somewhere that I didn't want to be. But I had to understand that that was all in the master plan. That was all a building skill that God had been placed inside of me. And I had to either achieve it or not achieve it. And as today, as I continue to march on, as I continue to believe the promises that God has made for me, because a lot of things that was given to me from hard work, from dedication, from committed, being loyal to my job was snatched away from me. But I trust and believe, because on today I am a prisoner of hope, that God is going to replenish it. He's going to restore it. Double for my trouble. And I'm standing in the need for everybody right now under the sound of my voice to remove the spirit of doubt out of your mind, to remove the spirit of unbelief out of your mind, to remove the spirit of worryation out of your mind. And I decree and declare in the name of Jesus, we replace it with courage. We replace it with belief. We replace it with faith. For all of you that feel like that your time has expired, that God, whatever he has shown you, whatever you have written down, because it didn't happen, it's not going to happen. I decree and declare that you have a changed mind on this morning, that you will look into the Bible and read the different accounts that God speaks about with hope, and you and he shows you how he is the person that can turn different things around. He is the person that's going to deliver it when you're in a place ready and prepared for delivery. A lot of us are asking for things, and our hope is going on to the wayside. But ask yourself, are you in a place to receive what God has for you right now? Are you in a place to receive double for the trouble that you went through? Because if you're not in a place to receive, it makes no sense for you to continue to ask for it. Because, see, God is only going to deliver what you are prepared to receive at this point in time. Yeah, he might have told you. And yes, he told you it is real. Yes, he told you it's going to come to fruition. If you don't abort the mission, you and I have to stay into a place where we, again, put our faith in God. Stop putting your faith in man. Stop allowing people to sit and get in your ear gates and let you know if it didn't happen now, or maybe that's not what you heard, or maybe that's not what you asked yourself. Am I in line, in alignment with God? Am I still on the square? Am I in the will of the Lord? Do I need to do a little bit of readjusting? Do I need to change of my path, my crooked path, into a straight path? Do I need to do a redoing of my life, starting from my mind all the way down to my feet? Do I need to sit and allow my words to change? Do I need to ask God to adjust my vision? Do I need to ask God to close up my ear gates? Do I need to ask God to do an open heart surgery for me so I can receive what he has for me? Hope without faith, and this is Evangelist Nita saying this, is dead. You have to put them together. They have to walk hand in hand. They have to be on the same page in order for the manifestation to take place. There are some of you right now are right at the verge of receiving what God has for you because you continue to press on. You continue to endure. You were able to get the naysayers out of your faith, out of your business, and stand on the promises of the Lord, believing and trusting that he was going to do what he said that he was going to do. And you didn't allow anything or anybody to take you off of your square. And in the times that you were taken off the square, you had some accountability partners that was able to pull you back on, even if it was a word of truth, a word that hurt you, a word that pinched you, a word that might have placed you in a place of humility to humble you, to bring you back into the presence of the Lord so you can stand and be like Abraham, believe that God's word was not going to come back void to him. And Abraham ended up at the end of the story, didn't matter how old he was, because he realized that God was his strength. He realized that God was his provider. He realized that God was going to prepare him and his loom, his heir, for everything that they needed. He ended up being the father of nations. That's how much God trusted him. God placed trust in him. He trusted him to be a father of nations, to be the head of nations, to be able to speak to the nations, to be able to show the nations, this is what my father, our father, Abba, Daddy, whatever it is that you want to call it, this is what he thought of me. This is how he trusted me. This is what my faith continued, and I kept moving on. It didn't matter if Sarah laughed about it when God told her she was going to have a baby. But I'm sitting and telling you that I continue to
have faith, and my hope did not die. Nobody could take it away. Every situation that I went through, I continued to have hope until God's promise came to truth, came to light in my life. I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but I'm sitting and telling you, go look up the scriptures. Look up scriptures on hope. Put faith in it as well. If you have no for them to manifest, you cannot today believe in something and tomorrow you do not believe in it. You cannot let the negativity. One thing we need to know, you may have a situation that's going on in your life right now and you don't see no way out of it. You don't know which way to go and how to go. But if you believe and you trust in God and you believe in the vision and the words that he has given you and you accompany it with hope, trust and believe it's going to be a manifestation. But there are some things you know that you got to do. You got to get yourself in order. You got to remove that fear. You got to remove that doubt. You got to stop always complaining and start praising the Lord. Turn your complaints into praises. Turn your complaints into petitions to the Lord. Start praising him. Start thanking him in advance. Speak things as if they were. If you're looking for a mansion, you tell God, I thank you for my mansion, Father God. If you're looking for a whole bunch of businesses, you tell God, I thank you for my businesses, Lord. Whatever it is that you're trusting and believing, God, you start speaking it as it was, and you believe what you say. When the naysayers come and sit and say, why are you speaking like that? You tell them to get away from you because you talking to the Lord. You're not talking to them. The words that's coming out of your mouth is to the Lord. You placing it into the atmosphere. You're letting him know that I have no doubt. You're letting him know that I have faith, and I believe that you are who you say you are and that you will do what you say that you will do. I believe that your words never come back void. I believe that your promises is yes and amen, and they will be delivered in the name of Jesus. Listen, saints, it is, I'm speaking to myself, I'm talking to myself, and I don't have no problems with doing that, because when I sit and tell you the visions that God has shown me, I know, without a shadow of a doubt that they are going to come to pass, because when you lock into that relationship with God, and you realize that today wasn't the day that you were looking, that today was a bad day for you, or different circumstances came, but you can be into a place where you quicken yourself and you realize what you're saying. It's, sometimes you might just have to slap yourself and realize and shake yourself up and realize what you're saying and what you're doing. Don't you be a defeated foe. You continue to get yourself up. Have a spirit of expectation and anticipation that something great is going to happen in your life every single day of your life. If it does not happen on this Monday, July 26, 2021, you get up Tuesday, July 27, 2021, with an expectation, and you be like the Energizer Bunny. You just keep going and going and going until you get to the place. See, one thing about Abraham did the things that he might have done wrong through his time with God, through his trials and errors. It was a learning thing. It was learning. He was learning different things. And as he learned different things, he straightened certain things up. He threw certain things out that wasn't of God. And so when God decided to allow him to become the father of nations and allow him to have his child, guess what? He was in a place that God had wanted him to be. Sometimes it takes a longer time for some of us, and sometimes it could be instantly. It's all where you're at, and it's all where your relationship is with God. That's all. That's what it takes. It depends on where your obedience is, where your discipline is, what you're looking for in life. And the last thing is if you believe. If your faith is so strong that no matter how hard the wind blows, that you're going to still hold on. No matter if you are in the ocean and you feel like you just can't go no more, you keep pedaling, you keep your feet moving. You keep your arms moving to let know, God, that God know I refuse. I'm going to continue to keep my head above water. Although I'm tired, although I got things going on in my life, I'm going to continue to press on. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I know that the word of God has blessed me. And I am thankful that God touched me to allow me, he quickened me to let me know to remain hopeful, to keep pushing on, to keep pressing on. Don't be a defeated foe. You continue to believe in me. Continue to allow your relationship to grow in me. Continue to endure, to press on, and to keep moving on. No matter how the things look, know that I am the vindicator. Know that I am the deliverer. Know that I am the healer. I just need you to guard your mouth. I need you to guard your ears. I need the words that come out of your mouth to be acceptable to me. Because every time you throw some junk out, guess what? I'm batting it down. It didn't get anywhere with me. So we have to guard our minds and be very cautious of the words that's coming out of our mouth. Once you have thought about them, once you know that they are acceptable to God, put them out into the atmosphere. Let God know that you're trusting him and that you're believing him in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare on this morning that some minds will be renewed, that some minds will be regulated, that people will not be ashamed to sit and tell people that I'm still standing on the promises of the Lord. I still have my dreams and visions, that I'm hopeful and that I know that God will deliver them to me. They might have not changed today, but tomorrow is a new day and the day after is a new day. As long as God breathes breath in my body, I'm going to continue to believe in his promises. I'm still going to have hope for tomorrow. I'm still, my faith and my hope coupled together is going to move the mountains. It's going to bring what God has for me a little bit closer. So I decree and declare today that a change will come over all of you's life, and you realize who God is and realize the purpose that he has already planned for you, and that is for him to be glorified through you. And with that glory, every time an achievement comes into your life and you know that God has told you, that's glory. Every time a soul is saved, that's glory. Every time you sin and you move doubt out of your life and you replace it with fear, you replace it with knowing, that's glory. I'm telling you on today, let go and let God. Let God do what he said that he told you that he was going to do. Don't let anybody be a dream killer for you, a vision killer. And like I always tell my sisters, write your vision down. Write it down. Write your dreams down. It's for a reason. Writing might not be for everybody, but I can only tell you, when I saw it in Habakkuk 2 and 3, and he said, write the vision down plain and clear, the light bulb came on to me. I took it as an instruction, and now it's something I do all the time. And I'm going to tell you something about writing down your visions and your dreams. With me, in a time such as this, I can go back. I can pull it back up, and I can show if I need to show that this is what God said to me. I can show and I can prove that God said, don't you move. I can show and I can prove that God said, you continue to march on. I can show and I can prove that God is telling me, as he's telling me right now, the best is yet to come. I don't know who else needs to know that the best is yet to come, but I'm sitting and telling you this morning, I'm prophesying it into your life. The best is yet to come. All you need to do is hold on. All you need, some of you need to get rid of the negativity that's in your circle. I don't care if it's your family members. Get rid of them, because we already know that God is not going to contend with myths. He's not going to do a burglary on an occupied vest. He's a dwelling place. He is not going to force himself in. He's already giving you the plan, the vision. He is the master worker. And all you need to do is get into position. Get into position is meaning get your house in order. Get yourself in order. And once you clean up the mess, You stand on the mark and not let nothing and nobody, I don't care if it's a category F5, you still stand in the name of Jesus. If it's a tsunami, you still stand in the name of Jesus. He is your protector. He is the one that's going to place his wings over you and protect you when all the disasters come. Why? Because he is showing you that I will deliver to you what I've already told you that is going to take place. Saints, stop doubting God. Stop doubting him. Get into a place where you're believing. In order for you to believe, you have to receive. You're going to go through some things. There is going to be some trial and error. But the beauty of it, every trial and every error, if you receive it, it is a learning process for you. It is a growing tool. It's helping you to remove and identify some things and some places in your life that God is not going to contend with. You need to be an open book to God. So when God sit and say, this is the day that I'm going to move you, you have to be in a place to receive, a place to move. It can't be, oh, no, God, I forgot I did this, so forgive me. But no, 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 no. You need to live your life holy. You need to be in a place where you start letting things, a separation needs to take place. I don't know who needs to separate themselves on today, but a separation needs to, and realize that God is who he says that he is. We listen, ADM loves you, but God loves you most. I want to remind ADM family that we have a mandatory meeting tonight at 8 p.m. Saints, we will be back on tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. It is just the urgency in my spirit to let people know. Let go and let God. Let the people that you may sit and think that are for you. Go to God. Ask him to identify who is for you and who is against you, because you cannot have an unwavering mind. You cannot be into a place today you're here and tomorrow you're gone. In order for the hope and faith, you have to stand in on the square, stand in God's will no matter what. It is Monday. Put an M before it. Marvelous Monday. Miraculous Monday. Whatever it is, just know it is Monday. And this is a day that you've never seen before. So go out. Make the great. Show God that you are just so thankful and he is so worthy to be praised. Do something different. Change up your atmosphere. Change up your way of praising. But let God know that he is number one in your life. God loves you, and we love you too. Peace. Have a great day.